Hello, and welcome into the Shift Podcast. This is Landon, and I'm here with Lexis.
Hey, guys.
And Lexis, you made a mistake, one, for having me back, and two, for having me back to talk about John 15, because this is one of my favorite passages of scripture, so you're going to have to keep me in check, because I know that I'm the host and you're the guest here, but I feel like, I don't want to take away your shine, but man, do I love some John 15.
Honestly, maybe this is just perfect, because this is one of my favorite passages of scripture, so maybe we'll just have like a little us both talking about how much we love it.
A meeting of the minds.
Yeah.
Good. Well, cool. So to kick us off, let's do a little backtracking. Last week we were in John 11.
Mm-hmm.
And hit a little quick recap of that.
Yep. 1 through 44, a lot of verses. But we talked about how Lazarus was raised from the dead, like pretty crazy stuff. And you know, something that I learned from Warren last week, cause he's this big seminary guy, is that this story of Lazarus raising from the dead closes the book of signs. So there's the book of signs and the book of glory. And so the first half is like all these miracles and wonders that Jesus is performing. And so that's the book of signs. And now we are in firmly the book of glory, with John 15. So, thanks Warren for teaching us some theology. For sure. But now we're walking in to John 15, 1 through 11.
Great. Love some good seminary wisdom. And
yeah.
Man, we'll be getting that from you here soon.
Yeah, I haven't learned enough to really give you a lot of wisdom yet, but I'm learning so many things in my classes right now.
Well, if he's a big seminary guy, then we'll just call you a small seminary girl for now.
yeah, the opposite.
Cool. So, so maybe let's go. We were in John 11, but obviously we were skipping a little bit to get to John 15. So Right. Maybe fill us in between, or kind of set the stage for what Jesus is saying here in John 15.
Right. So definitely read through these chapters on your own, because there's some really great stuff. I mean, it's just Jesus being Jesus. So you want to read about it.
That's never a bad thing.
Never a bad thing. But the right before our text that we're dealing with this week is John 14, which, major key alert, John 14 is one of my other favorite passages of scripture, because it goes right into John 15. And so you should definitely go read it, because it's so amazing.
Wow, major key alert, DJ Khaled, throwback.
Throwback.
Is it summer 2015 again?
You can tell how old I am right now. But Jesus has just promised the Holy Spirit to the disciples in John 14. He says that there's an advocate coming that he will send in Jesus's, like the Father will send it in Jesus's name, to teach them all things and remind them of everything that he said to them. And he also talks about this concept of creating home with them, that after Jesus leaves, he'll be able to create home within each of us through the Holy Spirit. And so that's like right before we walk into this conversation, where we talk about Jesus saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. So it's honestly like a way of Jesus even explaining what it could look like
Right. For
us to experience that home that he's creating with us through the Holy Spirit.
Because I think you can read John 15 and read the like, you know, this theme of abiding, and you kind of end and you're like, with who, like what, how?
Yeah.
But I think that 14 sets the stage for that a little bit, and even kind of, he's like working ahead to so that there aren't questions. Like
Yeah. People
know what he's talking about.
Right. Like, and Jesus is known for talking, you know, in parables. And so honestly, I am just going to skip ahead a little bit and talk about what I love most about this passage, just
Sure. Because
it totally relates to what we're talking about right now.
Because they've already read the scripture by this point.
Right. So you should already know what the scripture says, because you've already read it. And if you haven't, go right now.
And if you have, good job. Pat yourself on the back.
Welcome. Yes. So the biggest thing that I love about this scripture is totally what an English nerd would say, which is what I am at times. And that Jesus uses...
English major, for those who don't know.
Yeah, I was an English major. A secondary English education major, actually. And so that means I was supposed to be a high school English teacher, but I ended up not doing that. And here I am going to seminary and I'm in ministry now. So it's just, you know, change of plans with the Lord. But in terms of the English nerd that I am, what I see when I look at this story is the concept of allegory. So Jesus says at the very beginning of John 15, like, I am the vine, you are the branches. He's literally setting us up for this allegory of, this is going to mean something. And I'm going to tell you right now that the characters are the vine and the branches. And so here you go. I'm the vine, you are the branches. And then the fruit that he talks about is this spiritual fruit that comes about when we are in the vine. So when we are like abiding, which is what he talks about. And so even when in verse one, it says, my father is the gardener. So over all of this, like the father is there and he is gardening and tending to the vine and the branches. And so the amount of down, you know, into the nitty gritty you can get into this allegory is honestly insane. And at times, like, I mean, with any kind of metaphor or allegory or parable, like the stuff has to end somewhere, and it's not as much the allegory as is what Jesus is talking about. But the fact that the Father can garden us and cultivate something within us that makes us into a more fruitful person, I think that that's a concept that all of us want to be a part of.
Yeah.
And so I think even learning what abiding actually looks like, to know, okay, if I want to have more fruit in my life, if I want to look more like Jesus, what do I need to do? That's the kind of stuff that we need to press into this week during curriculum.
Yeah. I think that's one of the coolest parts about John 15 is its simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes even when Jesus starts speaking in parables and metaphors, like he doesn't like lay it out necessarily beforehand. And so here he lays it out. And I think sometimes we can get caught up in just kind of other places in scripture, you know, heady theological concepts. And like this concept of abiding is in some ways like really simple. It's like, if you're with me, you're good. Mm-hmm. If you're not, maybe not.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that kind of leads us into maybe one of the themes that you dived into, which is just this idea of abiding. So if you want to dive into even what does it mean to abide, or how does John 15 inform the idea of abiding?
Yeah. I think one of the things that's like sticks out to me the most is that he says, apart from me, you can do nothing.
That's the one for me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so when we think about abiding, it just means to be with him.
Yeah.
And so when I'm doing things without him in my own power, nothing's actually happening of substance. Like nothing that really matters or is going to mean anything spiritually or for the kingdom is going to happen if I'm not with him. And so it really is the only way toward sanctification. And that's like a really big word just to even say, like, becoming more like Jesus.
Yeah.
And so it gives us life. It gives us peace. It gives us, you know, life to the full that he talks about. Even at the bottom of, you know, these verses that we're looking through, it says in verse 10, like, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And then he says, my command is this, love each other. This is outside of our verses that we kind of go through, but he says, love each other as I have loved you.
Yeah.
And so really what he's saying is that all it takes is obeying my commands, like doing what I ask you and living out the things that I've asked of you. That's how you abide in my love, is by not like by performing, because we never want to say like we're performing for Jesus, because he doesn't even want us to do that.
Yeah.
But literally just doing the things that he's asked of us. Like when we read through scripture and we see that it says like, speak well and honor your friends, we should not gossip about our friends.
Yeah.
You know, like when it says you should love someone more than yourself, how do we live that out? Like really thinking through these things and living the way that he's asked us, because that's what it looks like to abide.
Yeah. And I think we can even want to rush into like desiring the fruit in our lives. I think we can even have like different ideas of what that means. And I think for some of us that could mean, oh, I want, you know, whatever worldly blessing I've convinced myself is fruit, or I want whatever, you know, virtue of a good person. Yeah. In my life. But I think this scripture has really taught me to simply desire to be with him and to simply desire his presence above all else. Because I think what the fruit looks like, sometimes I don't even know.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's, I don't know. Like I can, you know, I don't know, desire things that will, you know, build my kingdom.
Yeah.
But I think with the fruit he's talking about here is, you know, the fruit of his kingdom. And so I don't think that just by abiding, we're promised better circumstance.
Yeah.
I think we are, provided better life because we have, union in life with the Father. So
I don't know. I think that for this is the best way that I learned how to be with God was listening to how other people are with God.
Mm.
So I am going to ask you, Landon, even though I know you're the one who's hosting this thing.
Yeah.
What does it look like when you're with God?
I think that one of the biggest things for me, because I fall into that pit really easily of performance and just needing to like check a box.
Yeah.
And I think that incorporating silence into my time with the Lord has really been helpful for me to not rush in and out of that space or just feel like, okay, I got to check this box, read these scriptures, and then I'm done for the day.
Yeah.
I think it has been, just adding more silence even for him to speak or not to speak, just kind of even slow down and for me to be attentive that he is present.
Yeah.
That it's not just me reading scripture, but that it's actually, this is time that I'm spending with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost feels like there's more of a relational, like conversational even dynamic to my time with the Lord than just, I think that even when I enter into scripture with silence and then leave scripture from silence, it feels like, the words come to life a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Where if I just kind of rush it, and there are days where, you know, I don't spend enough time like in silence before and after. And this isn't, you know, 20 minutes, it's more like, you know, two,
yeah,
honestly, or just like a few deep breaths, I think have even been a good thing for me. I think even not like, for me personally, I think the idea of like going through things or like going through a book of the Bible has, for me personally, and this is different for everyone, but like yeah, lends me to like that performance or like achieving. And so even just, I don't know, even sensing some freedom to like remain in certain scriptures, like honestly, John 15 is one that for seasons, I'll just read that every day.
Yeah.
Just cause I know that's what I need, or that's at least what I feel like I need.
Yeah.
Or that's just kind of where my heart is being pulled. But yeah, something about even just desiring like silence, I've found myself with just like, man, like in this world that just is distractions and, you know, 24/7, just, you know, distraction and whatnot, to just, I find myself even craving silence after a while. That yeah, wasn't, you know, immediately, but that's a little bit of what it looks like for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to add on top of that for you.
Yeah. No, definitely silence has been something that has really helped me, because I'm the type of person who wants to go like from this thing to this thing to this thing. Mm-hmm. Not because I like living my life that way, but just because I feel like that's just the way it ends up happening if I don't actually stop myself and make myself sit.
Yeah.
So that's been impactful. So when you're saying that, I was like, yeah, totally. But for me, I think a lot of times what I want to do is I want to come to my, you know, quote unquote time with the Lord, and I want to basically word vomit and then walk away from it.
Mm.
That's what I would like to do if it was my way. But I think a big part of my time with the Lord is actually like opening up scripture.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times the things that are frustrating me or the things that I need help with, if I open up scripture, it doesn't even have to relate to what I'm going through. Just reading it like physically calms me, which didn't used to happen. Like I would just like get frustrated that I had to read scripture because it felt like it was something I had to do.
Yeah.
But at this point, like where it says in like Proverbs, like kind words are like honey to the soul, or, you know, something along those lines. That's what scripture has started to feel like for me, is that like when I read scripture, it's like, okay, this is my everyday manna. This is what I get for today. And like, Lord, I can't wait to see what you're going to reveal to me today. Mm-hmm. And so like even memorizing scripture has become something that's like so influential for me. Really like digging in and being like, okay, like this is something that I struggle with all the time. Like wanting to plan my future. Okay, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Yeah. That helps me not to worry about
he's
the future.
Got you.
Yeah. So I think reading scripture has been something that's been like more impactful, even more than it was when I first started reading scripture.
Yeah. I think another good thing, too, about abiding is just like loosening the parameters on what we, I don't know, view as like quiet time or time with God, and really understand that He wants all of it.
Yeah.
And that, His heart is that we would be open to His presence always and craving His presence always, even when we have just little moments in our day where we can just, you know, return to God.
Yeah. I mean, even Bob Goff is quoted as saying, like, I've never had a quiet time in my life. Like, he's like, I've never intentionally had a, you know, quote unquote quiet time, but I spend my life with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, okay. Like, there's just different ways of meeting with God that you get to uncover the more that you are with Him.
Yeah. I think it's really easy to like get to the end of your day and just like beat yourself up because like, man, I didn't spend time with the Lord today. Or just like, I kind of went on autopilot and didn't even think about like, you know, what He wanted to say to me today. And like, that can get really easy to get into that shame place. But I was even listening to a podcast, with John Mark Comer last week where he was talking about like, those moments of distraction where you realize like, oh shoot, like, you know, I've turned my mind like away from God. Like, to view that instead as like an opportunity to return to Him.
Yeah.
And I love that framing of it. It's just like, we always have that opportunity to return to Him. And so like, even when we have that daily time, you know, I know it's different times for different people, when it's in the morning, it's like that opportunity to return to that place, throughout the rest of our day, I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And actually I think daily time with the Lord is maybe something you wanted to hit on as a practical application out of.
Honestly, we've hit it so well. I think at this point, there are just so many different ways to do it. And so like, honestly, like if you're looking for just like, or you're thinking like, wow, my time with the Lord just doesn't feel very fruitful, or it feels like I'm not really connecting with Him, or like maybe you're just feeling like that tension of like, I just don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Talk to people who you see are doing it well, like who you're like, wow, I look at them and I'm like, I wish I had their faith. Those are the people that you should ask, like, how do you meet with God? Like, what does it look like for you every day to touch base with Him and to be with Him all day long? Because the best way to grow is to learn from the people around you. Like, the Lord has given you this community. And so like, let's use it for what, like for becoming better and more Christ-like. And so, a great way to start is to just take, you know, 30 minutes, 15 minutes a day, read some scripture and sit in silence for a couple of minutes. I tell Alexa to start a timer for 2 minutes, and then she tells me when it's time for me to stop being silent, because if I had to sit in silence for 2 minutes, I would probably end it early. So she, you know, she tells me when I can come out of the silence. And then just maybe get a journal, just take some notes like, hey, on this day, like this is what the Lord and I talked about. That's all you have to do. Like, you can bullet list, you can, you know, write about your day, whatever, but just taking that time to reflect and to be with God and to listen, I think is important.
Yeah. And He promises that if we do so, that we will bear fruit and be people who will bring His kingdom to earth, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. He makes that promise right there in John 15. So.
Sweet. Well, cool. I'm so excited that shift groups are getting into this. So hope everyone has a great group this week. Lexus, it's been a blast.
Course.
And
hope you all love John 15 as much as Landon and I do.
Yeah, seriously. If yeah. I hope so too.
We'll see you guys later.
All right, see ya.